This is part of the 12 Days series by Basingstoke, and read by Tiny Pink Mouse. As for my series of Podfic Bingo Square fills, this would be so perfect for the accent thing, if I actually knew how to do an accent, which I don't, so I guess I will skip trying that. So no square for me. On the 10th day, "You're smiling, Molari," I said. "I am, Jika. You are most observant." Molari exposed his pointed teeth in a disturbing rendition of mirth. "I do not trust you when you smile." "But you trust me when I frown. I must be doing something wrong for you to trust me at all." He shook my shoulder, my right shoulder, near my uninjured eye, and we walked together, the strangest of friends. "What are you up to?" I asked him. I was answered by the call of Captain Lockley. "Ambassador Molari." Molari and I both turned, he in response, I because I would not miss this for worlds. The captain sounded aggrieved with Molari, which was always entertaining. "My dear lady," Molari said, "how may I be of assistance?" "That's captain, not lady," said Lockley. "My dear captain, it is always an unparalleled pleasure," Molari smiled. Captain Lockley's eyes narrowed. Humans had such mobile faces that I constantly overreacted during my first contact with them. Now I was quite used to them, but in this case a little overreaction was in order, I thought. Perhaps a shield. I made a note to drag Molari in front of myself if the captain exploded. "I have 14 complaints lodged against your guests, and they've only been here 3 hours," Lockley said. "Did I not warn you, dear lady? Excuse me, dear captain. My guests are worshippers of Zora, god of dance, and as such, I am afraid they move most exuberantly at all times." "They kicked a security guard in the head." "We have learned to give them a wide berth," Molari said. "Wide berth." She crossed her arms and stared at Molari, who stood benignly with his most maddening smile turned upon her. This was his favourite game of all, and this new captain had not yet learned how not to play it. "If they can't restrain themselves to a quiet waltz, I want them off the station. They could have given my man a concussion." "Oh, I could ask that of them," Molari said, all politeness, "but I'm afraid it would be a grave offence to my government. My guests are quite high-ranking, and this is the time of the Feast of Zora when observance is most important. As such, I am very much afraid the question must go to the head of the new alliance, who handles, I believe, political affairs aboard this station." Captain Lockley became quite still, quite calm. "All right," she said. "We'll take this to Sheridan." Then she turned and left us. Molari and I turned to one another. "As Mr. Garibaldi would say, your ass is grass," I informed him. Molari smiled broadly. "We shall see." We saw, in fact, not an hour later when we were summoned quite rudely to President Sheridan's office. A security guard came to collect us, or rather, Molari, but I would not leave his side at that moment for gold. Lockley stood outside Sheridan's office with an expression I could only interpret as smug. As we approached, she opened the door, and we saw the situation. All 10 Centauri lords were inside Sheridan's office, observing their religious celebration with Gunnar-like leaps and bounds. A lamp was shattered on the floor. A wall was dented. Sheridan was nowhere to be seen. "Lando!" He was, in fact, under his desk. Molari ducked an exuberant boot. "Yes, Mr. President?" "Get in here!" The end.